Ebenezer Operation Exodus, Bulletin Issue 1, 2026, Aliyah, the Lord's Holy Work, 35 years of God's faithfulness.
Then Samuel took a stone and named it Ebenezer, saying, "So far the Lord has helped us." 1 Samuel 7, verse 12.
A Christian organisation helping the Jewish people return to Israel. The top picture shows Gustav Scheller hugging a Jewish woman arriving on an Ebenezer-sponsored flight from Armenia in 1991 by the number 91 bus stop. The Ebenezer logo is also present with 35 written on it to represent the 35 years of the ministry. There follows the international report from Philip Homburg, who's on the international board. In August 1990, Saddam Hussein's Iraq invaded Kuwait. Within a few days, the UN Security Council condemned Iraq. At the invitation of King Fahd of Saudi Arabia, an international force of Western and Arab nations was brought together. The UN deadline for Iraqi forces to withdraw from Kuwait was the 15th of January 1991. This date coincided with the start of the annual International Prayer Conference in Jerusalem. In his book, Operation Exodus, Prophecy Being Fulfilled, Gustav Scheller, the founder of the ministry, writes that Saddam Hussein threatened to burn up half of Israel if the international force would attack Iraq. Gustav continues, "As the threat of a massive attack loomed over us, the first night we gathered and sang the old hymn, 'Great is thy faithfulness.' A great strength and peace came over the group, and we were absolutely secure in God's hand. We all felt it a privilege and a joy to be in the land at a time like this. Indeed, the Lord watched over this group of believers and over all Israel. 39 Scud missiles hit major population centres like Tel Aviv and Haifa, and more than 4,000 buildings were damaged. Yet the cost in human lives was limited to 2 persons killed by this barrage. There are many testimonies of miracles experienced in Israel during the Gulf War. The war ended on the 28th of February, on the Feast of Purim." Gustav also writes in his book, "But as the conference went on, I had an overwhelming sense that God wanted us also to take action. Now you can begin helping my people to go home." In January 2026, we celebrated the 35th anniversary of the start of Ebenezer and the word received by Gustav. Above all, we celebrate the faithfulness of the Lord. Psalm 89 proclaims that the Lord's faithfulness will be praised in the assembly of the saints. We want to make his faithfulness known to all generations. God promises that his faithfulness is established in the very heavens. Our mighty God, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, is surrounded by his faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. We look back on almost half a lifetime with hearts full of thanksgiving for everything the Lord has accomplished." The picture across the top of page 3 shows the B'nai Menashe children, again smiling, the boys wearing their kippahs, holding signs saying, "Thank you, Operation Exodus India. Thank you, B'nai Menashe Israel." Philip's report continues, "We choose to humble ourselves and we give the glory to God."
"Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth." Psalm 115, verse 1.
We recognise that Aliyah is the Lord's holy work, and it is a privilege for us to serve him as instruments when he brings the Jewish people home to Israel. We desire to be faithful to his calling and to the mandate he has given us. I am reminded of the lesson we can learn from the Overcomers, a group of evangelical Christians from Chicago who made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem in 1881. Led by Horatio and Anna Spafford, the overcomers expected the imminent return of Jesus, and Annas Barford described their motivation in going to Jerusalem. "We wished to go there when God brought the Jews back. We wanted to see the prophecies fulfilled." The overcomers noticed several signs soon after their arrival in Jerusalem, including a rare summer rainfall, the premature blossoming of an almond tree in their garden, the arrival of Jews from Yemen, and the growth of Jerusalem's Jewish population. They provided the several hundred destitute Jews from Yemen who were living in the open fields outside the city wall with tents, medical care, food, and a soup kitchen. They were witnesses of the first Aliyah wave, which started in 1882. But as the first generation of overcomers passed away and was replaced by the next, there was a fundamental change. They directed charitable medical work to the Arab population, identified themselves with Arab needs and aspirations, and rejected the Zionist enterprise as usurpation. May the Lord, in his mercy and faithfulness, help us in Ebenezer Operation Exodus to be faithful to his call and to the mandate he has entrusted us with. There follow four prayer points. 1. To glorify the Lord, the only true God, and the name of Yeshua. 2. To pray for the return of the Jewish people from all nations back to Israel in accordance with the prophetic word, for the Aliyah gates and highways to be open, and for the Lord to plant all the Olim in their God-given land with all his heart and with all his soul. 3. To encourage and help the Jewish people to make Aliyah by bringing them in our arms and carrying them on our shoulders. 4. To reach the church, the body of Messiah, with the Aliyah message and declaring the home council of God and his kingdom purposes. Yeshua says,
"Take heed that no one deceives you." Matthew 24, verse 4.
Let us continue to abide in Yeshua and in his word, in a dark world where lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. Let us preserve in God's work.
Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 24.
We see the day approaching. The Messiah is coming. The kingdom of God is revealed. The restoration of all things is at hand.
Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, verse 13.
There's a list of three key words. The first, Aliyah, is the word for the immigration of Jewish people from the diaspora to the land of Israel. The word in Hebrew means ascent and is defined as going up, progressing towards Jerusalem. Secondly, Olim means Jewish immigrants to Israel, those making Aliyah. In the singular, a male immigrant is called an Oler and a female immigrant an Olah. Potential Olim are those our teams contact and encourage to make Aliyah. Thirdly, Klitter concerns the absorption of Olim after they have arrived in Israel. It includes all aspects of integrating into society, including learning Hebrew, finding employment and housing, school enrolment, and serving in the Israel Defence Forces, IDF. The top of page 4 has a geographical map showing Moldova, Ukraine, Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, and then the southern part of Russia, which is labelled the Land of the North. The FSU report then follows from Johannes Bartels, who is the regional coordinator for there, as well as Europe and Israel.
Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Romans 16, verses 3 to 4.
The first 16 verses of Romans 16 mention a number of faithful servants of God. Within our Aliyah ministry, we often speak about the worldwide Ebenezer family. Some of us are known on an international level. Some even write articles or preach in churches. Yet the great majority are those who faithfully do the work, not because they seek recognition or fame. In the years I have been part of this ministry, I have met many people willing to give and serve far beyond what one might expect. They bear witness that their motivation is to serve the Jewish people, driven by a deep inner conviction that this is a calling from God. When we are called by God, we do not seek applause or thanks from people. Nevertheless, in a family like Ebenezer, we should not only thank the Lord for these faithful servants, but also express our gratitude to them directly. I have just updated our statistics of how many Olim our teams helped in 2025. I saw that in our largest operating nation, which we call the Land of the North, our local team provided over 30% of the Olim assistance. In some other countries, this figure reached up to 50%. I truly believe it is a historic opportunity for the church to show God's people of Israel that we are convinced that they are not forgotten. But this requires us to use our hands and feet in practical ways. I want to encourage you to choose one or more of our workers at the forefront and commit to praying for them regularly. For some of our workers, especially in Ukraine, ministry involves life-threatening risk. Yanya's article in this bulletin captures the reality of these dangers. Your faithful intercession is a powerful way to stand with them. I want to thank God for all the faithful financial donors who make it possible that in 2026 as well, thousands of Jews can receive this divine extra blessing on their journey home. May God receive all the glory. The picture across the bottom of page 4 shows 5 Olim, 4 male, 1 young woman, with suitcases and bags, standing at the back of the minibus with Dear Vadim, on their way from Kiev to Vinnytsia and then on to Israel. These Olim will now be back in the land. God is faithful. Thanks to Vadim and our faithful team in Ukraine and across the whole of the former Soviet Union. The picture across the top of page 5 shows Anya and her elderly mother at Chisinau Airport with their bags and a dog on their way to Israel. The Ukrainian report from Yanya in our Ukraine team then follows. For many in Ukraine, every morning begins with, "We survived another night. We are alive. Praise God." Many now see their complete dependence on the Creator and the mercy of our Lord and Saviour. We picked up Anya and her elderly mother, Alla, to drive them to Odessa, where Pavel would take them to Moldova to fly to Israel. Anya's son moved there 10 years ago and was waiting to reunite with them. On these long journeys through Ukraine, people often reflect on their lives. Anya and Alla shared memories of peaceful lives before the war, alongside difficult losses. Anya had long dreamed of moving to Israel to follow her son, but her mother's cancer diagnosis postponed their departure. Despite the war and lengthy treatments, everything worked out, and the women looked ahead with hope, believing in a better future. Lost in conversation and memories, we didn't notice the long journey. The mood was good until, nearing Odessa, heavy shelling suddenly began. Our terror was indescribable. I had never been so scared. The sky was red, the roar was deafening. With no shelter nearby, we had to keep moving. We prayed fervently, crying out to God for protection. We reached our overnight accommodation. Anya and I went inside for paperwork while Alla stayed with the car. When I returned, Alla was pressed against the car, shaking, repeating, "I've been hit!" In an instant, I knew what to do. I believe it was God's will. I got Alla inside where, thank God, there was electricity. I realised she was not injured. She was having a panic attack. I tried to distract her, saying, "Look, we're safe." But her panic persisted. I cried out to God, and words of faith poured out. God is your doctor. Believe, and instead of tears, there will be joy. I urged her to trust God, that a new life was beginning, and that the best was yet to come, even at 73. Praise the Lord. Allah calmed down, and peace entered her soul. The next morning, Pavel took them to the airport in Moldova, and they now live happily in Israel. Please pray for the family's integration in Israel, that they will know the God of Israel, and he will watch over them. The advertisement at the bottom of page 5 is for the Ebenezer European Conference, which will be held in Tallinn, Estonia, from the 21st to the 24th of May 2026. It's entitled Alia Awakening, Pentecost 2026, The Spirit, the Word, and the Restoration of Zion. At the first Shavuot, God gave Israel the Torah, his commandments, Exodus 19-20. On Pentecost in 28 AD, he gave his Holy Spirit to the disciples of Jesus, Acts 2:1-4, fulfilling the promise to write his law on their hearts, Jeremiah 31:33, and 2 Corinthians 3:3. What began as external instruction became inward transformation through his Spirit. Our conference will focus on encouraging the church to embrace the message of Aliyah, the prophetic return of the Jewish people, Isaiah 11, verses 11 to 12, Jeremiah 16, 14 to 16. We'll pray for the Aliyah highways, especially from the north, Jeremiah 31, 8, Isaiah 43, 5 to 6, near one of the largest Jewish communities where many thousands still wait to return to Israel. The logo of Ebenezer Exodus is printed with the 35 in it again as a reminder of the length of our ministry. For further information and booking, go to, and this is all lowercase, ebenezer-oe.org/Pentecost2026. The picture at the top of pages 6 and 7 shows the Hanukkah on Bondi Beach surrounded by floral tributes and a crowd of people. The caption reads,
"Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God," Isaiah 40, verse 1.
The Australian report from Pete Stuckan then follows. Sydney, Australia, Sunday the 14th of December, 2025. The day began with the warm sunshine of early summer. In the late afternoon, Jewish families gathered at the park alongside Bondi Beach to light the first candle in a Hanukkah by the sea celebration. Picnic baskets were opened. Children reached eagerly for their sufganiyot, the delectable Hanukkah donuts. No inkling of the tragedy that lay ahead. Fiona and I first perceived that something was going terribly wrong on this first night of Hanukkah when the Australian national broadcaster interrupted its news bulletin with the announcement that emergency services had been called to a developing incident, a shooting at Bondi Beach. The mention of Bondi Beach was ominous. We looked at one another with a sense of foreboding. Was this an anti-Semitic attack? For the last 2 years, facilities at Bondi Beach had been repeatedly defiled with abusive and threatening anti-Semitic graffiti. Bondi Surf Beach is both a national icon, a sought-after tourist destination, and is situated close to where the largest segment of Sydney's Jewish community resides. Over 800 kilometres to the north, close to the Queensland border, in another park alongside another beach, a local rabbi had gathered his community to light the first candle on the Hanukkah. Joining them was an Ebenezer prayer partner, Phil Ballion. Before any news bulletins gave details of the unfolding tragedy at Bondi, Phil was learning of the attack. Around her, cell phones buzzed with calls from Israel. Are you okay? There were gasps of shock and anguish as the news spread rapidly around the group. A hurried pack-up in hushed tones. Then minutes later, everyone had left. As police and paramedics were springing into action in Sydney's east, Phil's thoughts went to her daughter-in-law and accident and emergency specialist at a Sydney hospital, on duty on that Sunday evening, skilled and loving hands ready to save Jewish lives. The first night of Hanukkah would never again be the same. Hanukkah's first candle would now mark three ignominious records for Australia. The worst terror attack in the nation's history. The first time on Australian soil that Jews had been specifically targeted in a murderous onslaught. And the largest loss of Jewish life from a terror attack anywhere in the world since the 7th of October 2023. As the horror of the massacre unfolded, Sydney's Jewish community went into lockdown. Monday morning saw Jewish families staying at home. Synagogues, Jewish schools, Jewish institutions and businesses remained closed. We began messaging love and support to our Jewish friends. Replies were instant. The pain and grief were palpable. Two smaller pictures at the bottom of page six, one again showing the flowers and crowds outside Bondi Pavilion, and the second showing a headline in The Guardian and a picture. The headline reads, "At least 16 dead in terror attack on Jewish festival." Pete's report continues on page seven. Funerals soon followed. Relatives from Israel arrived. As Hanukkah's third, fourth, and fifth candles were being lit, the community was burying its dead. The youngest, Matilda, was just 10 years old. The oldest, at 87, had lived through the horrors of the Shoah as a child and died in a murderous hail of bullets at a Sydney beach. A rabbi's five young children now no longer had their father. Lives forever changed. In the days of those funerals, I realised afresh how deeply we at Ebenezer care. We love the Jewish people with a sincere love. Wherever amongst the nations we find ourselves stationed, in Australia or anywhere in the world, as the Ebenezer family, we are called to be first responders in prayer and loving action. Australian Jews are attached to their host nation. Their forebears helped shape it. Since European settlement began with the arrival of the first fleet at Sydney Cove in 1788, Jews have contributed significantly to the building of the nation. In the professions, in the arts, in scientific and medical research, in commerce and industry, in the military and in government. Among prominent Australian Jews are the nation's most distinguished military commander, Sir John Monash, and the nation's first Australian-born Governor-General, Sir Isaac Isaacs. Australia was a safe sanctuary for its Jews throughout the Shoah. Post-war, on a per capita basis, Australia received proportionately more Holocaust survivors than any nation except Israel. Australia's Jewish community is known as the most Zionist across the diaspora. Aliyah is Plan B, tucked away in everyone's mind. Yet for most, the prospect of actually leaving Australia is daunting. Into this setting came a sudden, horrible tragedy. The community is severely shaken. Fear and apprehension are widespread. The realisation that the period of sanctuary might be coming to an end is acutely painful. The immediate need is, comfort my people. As Ebenezer in Australia, this is what we threw ourselves into. Engaging with our beloved Jewish community. Our prayer focus was on the bereaved Jewish families, on the injured, some with life-threatening wounds, and on the stirring up of the nationwide body of Messiah to bring sincere love, comfort, and support to a hurting community. Predictably, our Sydney Aliyah desk began receiving fresh inquiries, mainly from Olim, who had already opened Aliyah files with the Jewish agency, and were now seeking our help to expedite the approval process. Yes, our calling is Aliyah, but our first duty is to love and care. The Lord himself is the one who is regathering his scattered exiles. We can be confident he will do just that. The advertisement at the bottom of page seven is for the Asia Pacific Conference in 2026, entitled Sons of Fresh Oil. Flourish in the courts of our God. Then he said,
These are the two sons of fresh oil, standing by the Lord of the whole earth. Zechariah 4, verse 14.
A time to be freshly equipped, be built up in the vision, prepare Aliyah highways. The conference is from the 12th to the 15th of November 2026. The venue is the Royal River Hotel, Bangkok, in Thailand. More information and booking at, all lowercase, ebenezer-oe.org/Bangkok, then the numbers 2026. The Ebenezer logo again with the 35 for remembering the 35 years of the ministry is also displayed. The picture at the top of page 8 is at Almaty Airport, where Nathan is seeing his daughter Bathsheba off to Israel. The caption reads "Love and Kindness." The Kazakhstan report follows from Zanzula, our base leader there.
"For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Jeremiah 29, verses 11 and 12.
Nathan lived in Bishkek with his wife and three children. He attends synagogue on Saturdays and prays for his family and his children who are in Israel. His eldest son, aged 19, lives in Israel. He left to study on the Nale program and, after completing his studies, stayed to continue his education and work. His second daughter left for Israel 2 years ago, and now his third daughter, Bathsheba, flew to Israel in September to join them. Nathan is very happy that his children are receiving an Israeli education and can live in the promised land. He told us, "My wife and I plan to reunite with our children in Israel. For now, we will live here, work, and pray for our children and for Israel. As a father, I trust in God and in the people who will take care of each of my children. My heart is at peace. I am very grateful to Ebenezer and Zanzula, who always helped us pay for taxis from Bishkek to Almaty and back when we came to see the consul, and who paid for our travel and hotel expenses every time. Thank you for your love and kindness and for caring for us. You are true friends, whom we can turn to for information about when the consul will arrive and to book a hotel in advance. May the God of Israel bless you. I thank everyone who supports the ministry for making it possible for us to help Jewish families in these difficult times as they travel from the land of the north to Kazakhstan, to Uzbekistan, and to Israel. I thank the Lord for you, for your kind and sacrificial hearts filled with the love of our Heavenly Father. Please continue to pray for the families making Aliyah from the north and our brothers and sisters helping them on their journey." The picture at the bottom of page 8 is again at Almaty Airport, showing Bathsheba, Nathan's daughter, at the airport with her luggage. The picture at the top of page 9 shows Raul and Analia wearing their Ebenezer Argentina t-shirts with a family of 6, parents with 3 sons and a daughter, and some of them wearing Aliyah Argentina t-shirts, all look very happy in their home. The Argentina report follows from Raul Ruoli, who is president of Ebenezer in Argentina.
"Therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you." Isaiah 30, verses 18 to 19.
We are so grateful for God's favour regarding a family of 6 who managed to make Aliyah this past autumn from Argentina. They got in touch with us at Ebenezer in June 2025, looking for help with their move. The family includes Lucas, Laura, and their children, Dustin, Ashley, Valentino, and Luan. They were living in one of the poorest parts of Greater Buenos Aires, and their financial situation was in a bad way. Because work was so scarce, they had scraped together enough money to get a used car, which was already breaking down, just so they could work as Uber drivers to feed the family. When the parents realised that their Jewish roots meant they could try to emigrate, they went to the Jewish agency to start the process. But with such a big family relying on just one income, they were on the verge of giving up on their dream of living in Israel. That's when, through Keren Leyadidut, another Aliyah organisation, they heard about Ebenezer, a Christian organisation that loves Israel. They called our Buenos Aires office in early June, and our team went to visit them to see exactly how we could help. Over the next few months, we were able to cover the cost for updating their ID papers and transporting all six of them to the various offices to get their documents sorted. We also helped the parents claim their Aliyah benefits. By November, they were on their way to Israel. Given their financial struggles, this had seemed impossible, or at least like it would take years. But with Ebenezer's support, the whole return process took just a few months. Today, Lucas's family is already in Israel, settling in and starting their new life. This is all thanks to the effort and commitment of everyone who supports us with prayers and giving. Two smaller pictures at the bottom of page 9. The one on the right shows all of the family again with Rual and Analia at the airport. And then the picture on the left shows the family with a rather delicious looking cake. The picture at the top of page 10 shows several smiley children and teenagers, all female, with candles and food. The caption across the top reads Bulgarian Summer Camp. The international report from Max Lurie from Israel then follows. A 10-day camp by the Bulgarian Black Sea coast, organised by Beit Berlin Lubavitch, BBL, last summer, gave children and families affected by the upheaval and anxieties caused by the war in Ukraine extraordinary joy and a renewed sense of life. Nearly 200 participants, including children aged 8 to 16 and parents, joined the camp. Tailored programs immersed them in a spiritual environment where Jewish tradition came alive through prayers, kosher meals, games and seaside conversations. A highlight of the camp was Shabbat, the lighting of candles, the scent of fresh challah bread, delicious meals, and most importantly, the feeling of belonging, of being loved and needed. Deeply meaningful for the children were their encounters with Israel Madrishim, young counsellors who recently began new lives in Israel. Their inspiring stories demonstrated that even during hardship, staying connected to one's roots provides the strength to move forward. This camp was only possible thanks to the generous support of Ebenezer and partners from Israel and Europe. Their generosity brought joy, care, and a sense of belonging to children who have faced the harsh realities of war. A small picture features the children on the camp, all in blue and white t-shirts, with a leader at the front and the Israeli flag waving and looking very happy. The suitcase effect. The report from the Netherlands, Henk Versteeg, the national coordinator there, then follows. We met Rita, name changed, last year when we delivered two suitcases for her son, who decided to make Aliyah and needed some suitcases. When we delivered the cases, we asked Rita if she and her husband had plans to make Aliyah, now that two of their sons would be in Israel. We talked about the help Ebenezer would offer and encouraged them to make definite plans. In March 2025, we got the request to help with their Aliyah. They wanted to move to Israel in August. We decided to come with volunteers to help pack up and load the container. As they had prepared much themselves, everything went very smoothly. The container was loaded in record time. Soon afterwards, they flew to Israel. Even though there are still some issues with the costs, Rita and her husband are very happy they made Aliyah. Please pray for potential Olim in the Netherlands to recognise the time to make Aliyah. There's a small picture on the right showing the container with Henk and Rosemary and other volunteers and the family after loading the container. The picture at the top of page 11 shows a dusk night sky with the sun just disappearing behind clouds, a tree in the foreground, and looking over a city. The caption reads, "Here am I."
"Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Isaiah 6, verse 8.
Prayer. The report from Abraham Milogo, National Coordinator of Burkina Faso, follows. The nations are increasingly uniting to reject God's authority and to free themselves from its influence. Psalm 2, verses 1 to 3. These nations are forming a plot against the Jewish people. They are deliberating against those whom God protects, saying,
"Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more." Psalm 83, verse 4.
These words, spoken by David and Asaph, respectively, were not only for their time. They remain relevant in the face of the rise of anti-Semitism and hatred against Israel around the world. Faced with this distress and anguish for the sons of Jacob, the Bible teaches us that the Lord has never remained silent, even when the pain leads us to believe that he is not acting. He has always raised up men and women for the good of his people. For example, Moses, whom he called to free the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, Exodus 3, verses 4 and 10. Esther, Mordecai, and many others like Isaiah, who heard his voice saying,
"Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" and answered, "Here am I, send me." Isaiah 6, verse 8.
This call of the Lord for his people must be heard in our churches, which for the most part remain deaf or indifferent to the cause of the Jewish people because of ignorance and lack of teaching. This indifference, unfortunately, reminds us of the sorrowful words of the Lord.
"I looked, but there was no one to help, and I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation for me." Isaiah 63, verse 5.
Today more than ever the Lord's call resonates.
"Comfort, comfort my people." Isaiah 40, verse 1.
We are his watchmen whom he has set up, who must not be silent day or night, who have no right to rest until the Lord restores his people and restores Jerusalem. Like Samuel, let us proclaim,
"Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." 1 Samuel 12, verse 23.
And challenge ourselves to be the people the Lord and the Jewish people can rely on. The advertisement at the bottom of page 11 is for Ebbie's Adventures. There's a picture of a little red-haired boy holding a staff with three sheep and mountains in the background. It's entitled From Shepherd Boy to King: New Stories and Activities with Every Bulletin. You can download the children's resources or visit lowercase ebenezer-oe.org/children's today. You can also find us on YouTube and Telegram by searching Ebenezer Operation Exodus. The picture at the top of page 12 shows some of our Israel team: Jeremy Smith, Colin Ross, Judith Shlomit, and Rachel Smith, all smiling with their coffee in their hand. The caption says, "A whirlwind." The Israel report from Rachel Smith on the Israel team then follows. It begins with some Hebrew words, the translation for which comes in the later text. Oseh shalom bimrumav, hu yaseh shalom elenu ve'el kol Yisrael, ve'imru, imru, amen. I looked around the warmly lit room. 13 of us gathered around the Shabbat table in Beit Yonah, Ashdod. For some, this had been their first Shabbat. The faint sound of ping pong and children drifted up the stairs as Hebrew, Russian songbooks and tea were handed out. Some led the singing, others followed softly, and a few sat in silence, reading the Russian translation of the words above. May the one who makes peace in the heavens make peace among us and all Israel. And let us say, Amen. The The melody rose gently, weaving itself into the countless prayers spoken in and for this house over the years. The first days after making Aliyah can be a whirlwind. Late-night arrivals from the airport are followed by early mornings, races to the Ministry of Interior by 7 a.m. Whatever routine Olim had back home suddenly disappears, creating space for new thoughts, questions and experiences. In the evenings, Olim come back with stories, seeing Jerusalem for the first time, meeting kind people and being ripped off. Recently, a family and I got caught up in a late-night conversation about the Israeli job market. During our conversation, the father ate an entire tin of pickles. It's not only the Olim that have new experiences. Another family spoke of having similar stories. No one back home knows that we're making Aliyah. It's good to finally feel welcome here for who we are. This past year has been a journey with pivotal moments of real life, joy, and hardship for staff and Olim alike. Over 85 new immigrants have stayed at Beit Yona in its first year of opening. Some of them have come from war, only to face another. And through it all, God has given many moments of peace. Today, a family continues their journey onwards. We wave them goodbye with a blessing that has carried the people of Israel for centuries. Shalom. Peace.
The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 29, verse 11.
The small picture on the left is of a couple, one male, one female, being interviewed for Aliyah News, episode 88. Our vision is to be servants and intercessors of the Lord, to help the Jewish people return to the land of Israel from all the nations, and to proclaim God's kingdom purposes for their return. All articles in this publication are copyright to Ebenezer Emergency Fund International. Operation Exodus is the operational part of Ebenezer Emergency Fund International. Started in 1991 with just three people, it now has representatives in 50 countries worldwide.